Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Welcome everyone. It's very nice to be here with you all. As we mentioned, yesterday was the sacred anniversary of the appearance of Srimati Radharani, who is the eternal consort of Lord Krishna. So, we will read, in order to continue the theme, we will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30. The Gopis Search for Krishna. Text 28. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya Govinda Prito yam anayad raha. Translation. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, by our BBT commentators, in fact. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains that the word Aradita refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, the sage Shukadev Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of his mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy. And thus the word Aradita is like the rumbling of a kettle drum, sounded to announce her great good fortune. Unquote. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Ujjvala Nilamani. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella, and below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner, and below the flag is a creeper, together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goad, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus, there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe of her right foot is a conch shell, and below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar. Below that an earring, and below the earring, a spear. along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks on the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. I'll read the next verse. Danya aho ami alyo Govindang Grabja Renava Yan Brahmeshur Rama Devi Dadur Mud Nyaga Nutaye. O girls, the dust of Govinda's lotus feet is so sacred that even Brahma, Shiva, and the goddess Rama take that dust upon their heads to dispel sinful reactions. Purport. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, who quotes from Shastra, each day in the late afternoon, as Krishna returned from the cow pastures with his cowherd boyfriends, great demigods like Brahma and Shiva would come down from heaven and take the dust of his feet. Great personalities like the goddess Rama, the wife of Vishnu, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are not at all sinful. But in the ecstasy of their pure Krishna consciousness, they feel themselves fallen and impure. Thus, desiring to purify themselves, they blissfully take the dust of the Lord's lotus feet on their heads. There's some very beautiful verses here. I'll read the first verse again. It is the main verse here. Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya Govinda Prito Yamanayad Raha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Om Jnana Tamaranda Syaka Ananda Syaka Chakshura Militam Yana Tasmai Shri Guruvena Shri Chaitanya Mahabhishtam Stapitam Yana Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamam Tadati Swapadantikam Vanchakapaturubhyasthakripasindubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Yes, this is a very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you hear over that side? Okay. You can hear over there? Okay. Very important part of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the middle, really. This is all during the course of the pastime of the Rasa dance, which is a very famous pastime, although it is also true that it is often not a clearly understood pastime of the Lord. Yes, in many cases, some cases, however many, there's a tendency of some people to think that this Rasa Leela dance, Krishna dancing with the gopis, that Krishna is just a young boy, like so many young boys. Radharani is a young girl like so many young girls, and all the other gopis also, they're just young girls like your typical young teenage or thereabouts girls. And when they came together there for that pastime, that it was just the same as when young boys and girls get together and dance, as we know, goes on regularly in modern society. But actually it's not the case. First thing, one very interesting point actually, which perhaps is not widely understood, but is that when Lord Krishna left Vrindavan, which was after this, some time, when Krishna finally left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, he had been present on this planet for 10 years and 8 months when he left Vrindavan. This dance took place before he left, even quite some time before he left Vrindavan, and so his age at that time was approximately 8 or not more than 9. That's explained very clearly, the different timings of the different pastimes in Vrindavan. Like, first of all, he was in Gokul, then after something like 3 years and 8 months or thereabouts, he moved to Vrindavan, where the actual Vrindavan village is, or town now. And then after another 3 years and so many months, when he was approximately 7, then they moved to Nandagram. Then when he was about 10 years and 8 months or thereabouts, it's all explained here in the Bhagavatam, actually, in this 10th canto, that then when he was about 10 years, 8 months, then he left Vrindavan, went to Mathura. So this dance then took place when he was 8 or 9 years old. And the girls, they were younger. Most of them were at least several months to a year or so younger. Only one, Vishakha is older than Krishna. Srimati Radharani is roughly a couple of weeks younger. Vishakha is about, she's 27 days older than Radharani. I mean, she's approximately 2 weeks older than Krishna. And the others are younger. Yes, so many people misunderstand, don't understand the actual situation here. And therefore they think in these types of terms, and sometimes we see paintings and pictures of Radha and Krishna in that dance, and they look like, well, in some cases they look like they're in their 20s, completely fully developed as young adults, and in others they look like they're perhaps in their late teens, on the way to being fully developed as young adults. But it's not the case. It's just not the case. Historically, it's not accurate. So in this way, with these various misunderstandings, misconceptions, and misinterpretations, then they miss the real point. The real point is, this is Kali Yuga, isn't it? No, it's really Kali Yuga.
I'm going
to
try.
So anyway, So, yes, they missed the point, which is a very, very important point. It's so such an important point, is that this exchange of Krishna with Srimati Radharani, that's particularly what's being referred to here, which is in the context of that greater event of the Rasa Dance with so many other gopis. So this Rasa Dance, this is an exchange of pure devotional love, pure spiritual love. It is not an exchange as we are familiar with, as we see every day. Boy meets girl, and girl meets boy, and all that sort of thing. You know, like you see in the, with all respect, all the Bollywood movies. Boy meets girl, girl meets boy, and then they run into the forest and dance, complete with orchestra. And suddenly other boys and girls appear from behind the trees and they dance. It's interesting, they dance just like, you know, just like they were taught to dance like that, in harmony, synchronized with each other. Kuch kuch hota hai. So anyway, so it's not like that. It's not like that at all. And in fact, what it is, the point is made in the particular, the main verse here we're focusing on, that the gopis, well, the background is that Radha and Krishna and the rest of the gopis were dancing there, and suddenly in the middle of the dance, Krishna abandoned the scene, but took Radharani with him and left the other gopis there. Just suddenly, they didn't know what happened. Suddenly, Krishna and Radharani were just not there, and they couldn't locate them. After some time they did, but initially they couldn't locate them at all. And they are thrown into a great ocean of anxiety and separation. So now, then they followed Radha and Krishna by following their footprints. And as they were looking at the footprints, what did they see? They saw the impressions of these markings. Do any of us have markings like that? I don't see any of you checking your soles of your feet. But I don't think so. We have just some, you know, whatever types of marks there. But Radharani, she's such a sacred person. The soles of her feet are marked with these very auspicious signs. And Krishna also, the soles of his feet are marked with very auspicious signs, which you don't find. You don't find very often, if you find at all. So anyway, they followed. And as they were following, they spoke this verse. And what did they say? Certainly this gopi, means Radharani, has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead, Govinda. Yes, they're not saying that, you know, as perhaps, I don't know, but perhaps may happen at the disco. None of you young people go to the discos, do you? You don't go to the disco, do you? Anyway, at the disco it may happen that young boy, young girl go there, but then young girl meets a nicer young boy, according to her estimation. And suddenly the first young boy is wondering, where did she go? But then he should know that certainly she found the other boy more attractive. Perhaps he dressed more nicely. Perhaps he had a better car. Perhaps he flattered her more. Perhaps he had more money in his pocket and promised her more or whatever. And in that way, that phenomenon took place. But here, the criterion, the particular criterion mentioned very specifically, is that this young lady, devotee, she has certainly perfectly worshipped Krishna. Yes, perfectly. She worshipped him. Even though he is the all-powerful person, he is the supreme person, the goal of everybody's life, at least he should be. So, because she perfectly worshipped him in utter purity, complete purity, so, therefore, he decided to reciprocate and give her some special attention. This is only natural, after all. To give her some special mercy because of her special efforts to render service to him in the mood of purity and pure love. Yes. And then the next verse goes on to make the point, we read the next verse, that very same Lord Krishna, that very same Krishna who took Radharani, as we've been mentioning here, and took her away to give her some special attention, that very same Lord Krishna, the dust from his lotus feet, Charana Renu, the dust from his lotus feet, Angri Abja Renu, the dust from his lotus feet is so sacred that even Lord Brahma, the creator, even Lord Shiva, the destroyer, even the goddess Rama is the consort of Lord Vishnu. Lakshmi, she is the form of Lakshmi, but Lakshmi is a type. There are many Lakshmis, but her name is Rama. Her name is Rama. So she is the consort of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. She takes the dust from the feet of the same Krishna. Lord Shiva, we've all heard of Lord Shiva, of course. So well known. Such a great personality. So many people are striving and praying for his mercy. But he wants the dust from the feet of the same Krishna. And not... commentators mentioned here in the purport, very nice point, that the fact that they want the dust from his feet, well, in their minds they think that they will become purified. Agha means sin, sinful reaction, like pap. And nutaye means dispelling, getting rid of. So in their minds, they may think like that, that it is for our benefit, our purification, that we are taking this dust. But actually, they're already pure. It's not exactly that they need to become more pure. They're already pure. They're already great, worshipable personalities in their own rights. Are they simply mistaken? Are they simply making an unnecessary effort to get this dust for their purification, but there's just no need at all, and in this way they're wasting their time. No, that's also not the case. Because even though they're pure, very exalted personalities, but they become even more sanctified. Already they're sacred. Already they're holy personalities on the highest levels practically. But through getting this dust from the feet of the Lord, of Krishna, Govinda, on their heads, they become even more sacred. This is a very interesting concept, isn't it? Pure, more pure, most pure, even more pure than most pure. How does that calculate? 1 + 1 = 3. Yes, anyway, this is the point, that actually there's no limit to that. There's no limit to that purity and sacredness. Yes. So even though they're already pure, they're already sacred, but still they take the dust from his feet, and they become more pure, and more glorious, and more worshipable, and more worthy of respect, honor, worship, glorification, and so on. Now, if his feet, or what to speak of his feet, if the dust from his feet, which is not even his feet, but just some dust, just some earth, some dirt, which has just had some contact with his feet only, if that dust has become so sacred that it purifies and gives even greater spiritual development to these already great persons, if the dust which has simply contacted his feet is like that, what are his feet like? Yes. This is now, we're now going into another realm again, even greater realm. And if his feet are like that, after all, let's face it, without making any, you know, inappropriate points, our feet are often not so wonderful, are they? Especially after a day's hard work, and so on and so forth, you know what I mean. So, our feet are not so glorious, really. Our feet, what about our feet compared to our heads? The head is much more important. Or the heart. The heart is much more important. Much more, there's just, it's another dimension actually of importance. So if the dust of which has contacted the feet is so important, then how important are the feet? But then if the feet are so important, you know, like the mochis, are you familiar with this term? The mochis? The cobblers? What do you call them in Hindi? In Gujarati it's mochi. Hindi? Kya? Kya hai? Tamil? Anyway, you know what I mean, right? The mochis. The cobblers, the leather workers, they are taken to be lower caste, isn't it? They didn't really make it. They are lower caste, because they're working with the feet all the time. Everybody's feet. Chamra. Yeah? Chamra.
Chamra.
Okay. Right, so here, this is very interesting, isn't it? If the dust from the feet is so valuable, the feet must be even more valuable. And the heart and the brain, the head, how important are they? Oh, it is inestimable, actually. They are simply praying. They are praying, please give me one piece of dust. Not even a whole lot. Not even let me touch the foot or something. Just one scrap of dust. And they're feeling so much benefited. And they are benefited. Actually, they are. At the end, after they've placed that dust on their heads, then they feel, oh, some transformation has taken place. Very nice. These are all realities, actually. These are realities. So amazing. Mm-hmm. So if that is the case, then how could it be that this is just young boy, young girl at the disco? How could it be? Well, the answer to that question is that it certainly is not. It is something else. It is something very glorious and grand. But the problem is, this is the problem, or the lack of intelligence and insight. Even the lack of ability to really just read. Yes. I read one thing, you read it a different way. Yes. Just like in Sanskrit, I don't know any of you are familiar with Sanskrit, but word order does not matter so much. Word ending matters. That determines whether it's of this or to that or from this or by that or on it or under it. The word ending. So, you know, you can have, in terms of word order, the sentence could read, well, the sentence may be, the man walked into the house. But in terms of word order, it could be written, the house walked into the man. But by word ending, you would understand that the man walked into the house. Yes. So like this. Yes, people don't understand. Even though it's here quite clearly that the dust of the lotus feet of Govinda is so sacred that even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and Rama take that dust on their heads for their benefit. Yes, so what is going on here then in this pastime? Is a very beautiful and very wonderful display of pure devotional expression towards God, perfect worship of God. This is what is going on, performed in a way which is so free from any type of even hint of selfish consideration, that selfish considerations are simply conspicuous by their absence. We know that generally in society, when people go to the temple or the church or the mosque or wherever, normally they pray for something, isn't it? They pray for some money, good health, to get the new job. Am I right? People pray for things like this a lot. Give us this day our daily bread. The Christians pray. They're all praying something like this. God give me. What is God good for? God is good for giving me things. How does God fit into our concept of reality? God is there to give us things. And where do we fit into reality? We're here to be given things by God. And in this way, enjoy life. Thank you, God. And when we need more, we'll get back to you. But for the time being, we're busy enjoying what you've given us. Oh, with full concentration, we don't want to get diverted. Just like, I'm sure many of you have heard this story, it's one of my favorites. It's just a very interesting little story about a Christian boy. I shouldn't say he's a Hindu boy, should I? He was a Christian boy, about the age of Deepak, perhaps, or something. And this little Christian boy, he wanted a new bicycle. Do you have a bicycle, Deepak? Okay. Anyway, this boy didn't have a bicycle. So he asked his mother, but his mother said, I can't afford it. Pray to Jesus. Go to your room, kneel down and pray to Jesus for a new bicycle. So he did that. He went and prayed, Jesus, I've been a very good boy. Please give me a bicycle. He looked around, there was no bicycle. Then he prayed again. He remembered he hadn't been a good boy. So he prayed, he said, Jesus, I tried to be a good boy. Please give me a bicycle. He looked around, there was no bicycle. Then he remembered he had not tried to be a good boy. So he said, Jesus, I will try to be a good boy. Please give me a bicycle. Then he looked around, there was no bicycle. So then he was getting a little angry with Jesus. You're not doing your job. What is this? And he thought, maybe I should convert and become a Hare Krishna. But not really. No. He just got angry and he started just thinking negatively about Jesus. So then he went to the church he was sitting there. There's a church nearby. Just sitting there. Catholic Church. They have, they call them icons. They're deities, actually. Jesus, Joseph, his father, his mother Mary, and various others. So he's looking at all these icons, you know, sort of like this size. He saw one icon of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He was looked around, no one was watching. He grabbed Mary. He took Mary, he ran home, went back up into his room with this icon of Mary, put her there on the table, kneeled down and prayed, Jesus, if you want your mother back, please give me a bicycle. And we didn't hear if he got the bicycle or not. We're just trying to illustrate the principle. You understand the principle here? You can see there is a lack of purity. What do we mean by purity? There's a lack of love. What do we mean by love? Even though the worship is going on, it is going on. Purity means that there is no... Well, the degree of purity, put it that way, means to whatever degree selfish interest is not there. To whatever degree. Someone may have lots of selfish interest. Someone may have just less. Someone may have very little. Someone may have none. In terms of how they are approaching the Lord, degree like this. Yes. And love, what do we mean by love? By love we mean the desire to please the beloved. So the two are connected. Purity and love. Pure love. Yes. That without any concern for oneself, one simply tries to please the beloved. This is love. Not, you look good to me, I look good to you, let's get together, and kuch kuch hota hai. Right? Something will go on. Well, something is going on. The whole world is going on this principle. Then later, you know, you don't see it so much in Hindu society, although it is on the increase, definitely. But in more westernized society, it's just so prominent that you look good to me, I look good to you, so we get together, here we are now, we're together. Then later, someone else looks better to me than you do, and so I say, goodbye, see you later, Faramalenge, or something. And I now go with that one. You know what I mean? This means, you see, the whole platform, the basis that this is all going on is impurity, meaning simply selfish desire, and a lack of love. Because we want to please me. And if I am not pleased enough, then even if you make your best effort, but I will just go elsewhere anyway. Yeah. Because the principle is my pleasure. Yes, and this is called love in this world. No wonder people are so confused about love, because actually they don't have it. They don't have it. They don't understand it. And they think that something which is not it is it. And this is a recipe for major confusion. Yeah. In fact, Lord Chaitanya said that lust, which is what we're talking about, that for my pleasure, lust. He said, lust is like iron, but that pure love is like gold, molten gold, something very rich and very beautiful. Mm-hmm. So this is what is going on here. This is what is going on here. These great persons, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, such exalted personalities, they want the dust from the feet for their benefit. But Krishna himself, that very person who they want the dust from the feet of, that very person has decided he wants her. Srimati Radharani, this is his decision. He wants her. Now, of course, we have to understand. I mean, it's just, you know, a fundamental consideration here, that if he is so pure, even the dust from his feet is so pure, if he is so pure, then why does he want her? He wants her for her. She has worshipped him. He will now reciprocate and give her some special mercy. Not that he, having checked out all the girls at that rasa dance, finally decided, right, this is the one for me, and ducked away quickly. No, 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 no. They all worshipped him so amazingly. So amazingly. But she worshipped him the best. Therefore she is called Radha Rani. She is the Rani. She is the queen of the worshippers of God. Yes. She's the queen. She worshipped him the best. And therefore, because he loves her purely and in a mood of actual love, therefore he feels, I must please her. She has done so much for me. How can I not reciprocate? And I must reciprocate in a major way. Therefore he's taken her to give her some special attention, separate from the others, not just as one of a group, but give her some focused attention, which is appropriate as reciprocation for the purity with which she worshipped him. Yes. So like this, this is all going on this most remarkable level of purity and love. Yes, I remember, I don't know if I told the story here, but not long ago, it was perhaps a year ago or something, there was one devotee friend of our movement who was also involved in various other processes, and he would walk on the fire at Long Market Street, and particularly he would do Kavadi. So he told us he did Kavadi for 3 years. He wanted a BMW 5 Series. And I'm not joking. And I asked him, you know, why not a 7 Series? And he said he didn't want to be ambitious. So, one way or another, Kavadi or no Kavadi, whatever it was, he got it. And he was driving us to a program. We drove out of the driveway at the temple, if you know. Driveway's down a bit, you come up and over, and then you go onto the road and turn to the left. So we just went up and over, and we had to stop because a car was coming out of the car park in front of us. And lo and behold, what was it? It was at least 20-year-old antique BMW 5 Series, which proceeded to break down right in front of the driveway as we were sitting there. So we got out and we helped push the car out of the way. Did you get the idea? Well, there's a few ideas there, but one idea is that people pray for these things, and they think if they happen to get these things, they think they really got something. But then the same thing, just only 20 years old, is not so old, and it just came and broke down, and it was ready for the scrap heap, really. It was just a mess. So even if you get it, but in due course it ends up as a mess. In due course. Yes. It ends up as a mess, whatever it is. Yeah. So anyway, it's like that. So this is not pure love. This is not pure worship. This is impure worship. At least, of course, it is worship, which is better than not even recognizing the existence of the Lord. But in terms of level of worship or level of religious value, it is low level, relatively, on the scale of religion. It's very low level. Yes, so here from this then, we can learn very wonderful lesson that these devotees, that even though Lord Shiva, of all people, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, the Creator, they want the mercy of Krishna, but Krishna wants the company of Srimati Radharani. See the power of the devotees. Just like shortly is coming up the Damodar month, Kartik month, when we celebrate that Damodar Leela, when Krishna was tied up by Mother Yashoda. I won't go into the whole story now, but basically Mother Yashoda wanted to discipline him because he was stealing butter. She didn't want him to grow up to be a bad boy, a thief, gangster. So she thought she should discipline him and train him to be a better boy. So she tied him up And when he was tied up, he couldn't move. You might say, well, he's God. Of course he can move. But he didn't move. He couldn't move. He didn't move, actually. He stayed tied up. And then as the story goes, he was tied to a big wooden grinding mortar for crushing spices, seeds into powder. So he was tied to this heavy thing. But he crawled away. He was only 3 years old. He crawled away and pulled that thing behind him, tied to the rope, until that grinding mortar got stuck behind two trees, and he was still pulling it. But here these trees, he went between. It got caught behind the two. And he kept crawling. Those two trees fell over. And out of them came two demigods. Krishna liberated them. They had been cursed. Therefore they were standing there in the forms of trees. So Krishna liberated them. He liberated them from that curse. And they were then free to go. They attained that type of salvation, liberation. So, as they were standing there, glorifying Krishna, that you have liberated us, you have delivered us, you have freed us, you have given us salvation. As they were standing there, glorifying Krishna and thanking him, they noticed, oh, he's tied up to a grinding mortar. He can't even move. There was Krishna like this, accepting their prayers. Isn't that interesting? And they tried to untie him. They thought, oh, this is not right. He just gave us liberation. But he is tied up. We should do something for him. We should untie him, but they couldn't untie him. He remained tied up. And he continued to remain tied up until Mother Yashoda came and untied him later. So even though Krishna was able to give liberation, and he gave liberation, he delivered someone from their bondage in this world, but he remained tied up by Mother Yashoda, by her love. Even to the point he could not untie himself. So how powerful is Mother Yashoda? Just consider that. Just consider that. This is another. These are very exalted subject matters. These devotees are so great that Krishna comes under their control, even though he is controlling everything. But when Mother Yashoda tells Krishna, you bring your father's shoes, Krishna brings them. He does not say, well, what you going to give me? You know, as people go to the temple, sometimes they think, I will offer 3 bananas, 2 apples, and 250 milliliters of milk, and in return I want a BMW. Anyway, but still, this is the point, the purity of love. Therefore, here we see, Lord Krishna was bound by the love of Radharani, so he was forced to give her special attention and abandon the others. Even though he's so glorious, people are begging for some dust from his feet, but he felt obliged to give her that special attention. So she's on such an exalted level, such a wonderful transcendental personality. And We should try to get her mercy. We should try to get her mercy. Her only interest. Well, pure love. That pure love of Radharani and the gopis is displayed. There's one little story of how Krishna had a headache. Many of you will be familiar with that story. Krishna had a headache. He told Narad Muni, the only thing that will cure it is some dust from the feet of my devotees on my head. Narada went and asked the different devotees. He asked Amesh, give me some dust, okay, from your feet. Krishna has a headache, he needs the dust from your feet. Is that okay? Amesh wasn't clear on whether he would do it or not. Anyway, I don't know. But Narada approached different devotees, and actually they were hesitant. Oh no, dust from our dirty feet on Krishna's sacred head? How can we do that? It's an insult. It's a terrible offense. They were refusing. So Narada went back and said, Krishna, you know, I've got bad news. No one will give any dust. By now Krishna's headache was very severe. Of course, you might ask, how is Krishna getting a headache? He's God. He's not meant to have to undergo these things. But the point in that regard is that if Krishna wants to have a headache, he certainly can. And if he gets a headache, he gets the best headache, because he's God. So it was really like that. And Narada said, you know, I'm so sorry, can't do it. And Krishna said, but did you ask the gopis in Vrindavan? Did you go there and ask Radharani and the gopis? And Narada said, no. And Krishna said, go there, you just see. Go there and ask them, see what happens. So he went, he explained. And they immediately took their feet and took all the dust and what, even every little scrap under their toenails and everything, and piled it up. And Narada thought, well, maybe they don't know about, you know, what is offensive, what is right, what is wrong. You know, you don't put your feet on someone's head because your feet are dirty, and maybe they don't know, so, and you may get some bad reactions for that offense. So he said, you know, I know you're just village girls, maybe you don't know this, but I should explain to you that there is, that some people say that if the dust from your feet goes on someone's head, especially some higher person's head, you may get some bad reaction, you may go to hell. Maybe you don't know that because you're just village girls. And the gopi said, no, we know. We know that. It's okay. We don't mind. We'll go to hell. As long as Krishna's all right, we don't mind. We don't mind going to hell. So Narada then took the dust back. Krishna's headache was cured. And Krishna said, you see? Did you see? This is love. This is pure. No selfish desire. Simply the desire to please the beloved, and at what cost to oneself, it doesn't matter. But no cost is too high. In fact, no cost matters. Doesn't even matter. Don't even think about it. But if it pleases Krishna, it's just automatically fine. It's the best thing. So Radharani said that if my suffering makes Krishna happy, then my suffering becomes my greatest happiness. Yes. This is pure love. This is pure love. So, Srimati Radharani, she's the embodiment of that love. And yesterday was her appearance day. And we should try and follow in her footsteps by trying to serve Krishna in as selfless a way as we are capable. It's not so easy. It takes some time to develop that spiritual maturity. But we must try. And don't worry. Some people think, well, you mean I'm meant to worship God without asking for anything? But how will I get my things? Well, don't worry, you silly person. He knows what you need better than you know. So you try and serve him, he'll look after you. Don't worry. Don't worry. That's his love. That's his love. That he just reciprocates so nicely. So shall we do like that? Is that okay? Try and cultivate that mood of pure service, pure love. Let's try and do like that. And then we'll advance in Krishna consciousness and we'll get so much of Krishna's mercy. So much. Hare Krishna.
Hare.